Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. As we read through the pages of Scripture, it is amazing to see how many times women play pivotal roles in the unfolding of God's eternal purpose. Over the course of these last several sessions together on Let the Bible Speak, we have briefly noted 11 women who have made a difference as God dealt with His people. To this list of extraordinary women, we could easily add many others. We could profit from reflecting on the lives of women such as Moses' mother, Jochebed, and his sister, Miriam. Deborah, who was the only female judge in Israel. Esther, who became queen of Persia, and the Shunammite woman who provided food and lodging to Elisha, were also extraordinary women. The same might also be said about the mothers who were good influences on the kings of Judah during the divided kingdom period. Among women in the New Testament, there were those who contributed to the Lord's support as He went about preaching, and the woman who touched the Lord's cloak in order to be healed. In the early church, there were also extraordinary women who played an important part in the spread of the gospel. One of these was Priscilla, the wife of Aquila. Another extraordinary woman of this time is the subject of our final lesson in the series, 12 Extraordinary Women. Her name was Lydia, and she has the distinction of being the very first convert to Christ on the continent of Europe. As with a number of the women we have studied in this series, there is not a lot written about Lydia in the New Testament. The primary text is in Acts chapter 16, verses 13 through 15. The only other mention of this extraordinary woman is in Acts chapter 16 and verse 40. From these few short words about Lydia, however, we can learn enough to draw reasonable conclusions about her. In terms of her background, Acts chapter 16 and verse 14 tells us that she was from the city of Thyatira, and that she was a seller of purple fabrics. Thyatira was located in the Roman province of Asia, in a region known as Lydia. The capital for this region was the city of Sardis. This region constituted the western reaches of Asia and was the location of the seven churches of Asia to whom Revelation was written. The message to the church in Thyatira is found in Revelation 2, verses 18 through 29. Of course, the church did not exist in Thyatira at the time of Paul's second missionary journey when he first traveled through Asia. Acts chapter 16 and verse 6 tells us that the Holy Spirit forbade Paul to preach in Asia at that time. At the end of the second journey, Paul came to Ephesus and preached there for nearly 3 years. In the first century, Thyatira was an important center for commerce. This was because the people of Thyatira had perfected a means of producing an expensive dye that was derived from mollusks harvested from the warm waters of the Mediterranean Sea. This dye was probably more of a deep red or crimson than what we would call purple today. Fabric dyed with this color was expensive and was worn primarily by the wealthy and by the ruling class. Having come from this region, it is not surprising that Lydia made her living selling purple fabrics. While it may not have been common in those times for a woman to own her own business, it was not unheard of. And as we have seen elsewhere in Scripture, there were other cases of women being of independent means. Lydia's reason for relocating in Philippi is not stated in the text, but we may safely surmise that it was primarily due to the needs of her business. You see, Philippi was a Roman colony, and as such was not under the strict control by Rome that other cities were. It had a large population of retired legionnaires and very likely was a city of some wealth. This would certainly have made it an ideal place for Lydia to set up shop. We may also conclude that Lydia had no husband. She was either a widow or had never married because there is no mention of a husband either living or dead. And this would certainly explain why verses 15 and 40 refer to the house that the disciples were invited to as being Lydia's. If she had had a husband, it is unlikely that the house would have been described in this manner. With this background in mind, what do the Scriptures tell us about Lydia? Well, let's go back and read Acts chapter 16, verses 13 through 15. Luke says, "And on the Sabbath day, we went out to outside the gate to a riverside, where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer. And we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. A woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay.' And she prevailed upon us." From this brief account, we learn three things about Lydia. The first that we will consider is that she was a woman of independent means and may actually have been quite wealthy. Two statements in this passage suggest this to us. First, as we have already noted, Lydia sold purple fabrics. Since there is no mention of a husband in this text, we may safely conclude that she was the owner of this business. Since purple fabrics were expensive and the clientele for such products were wealthy, it is very likely that Lydia also was wealthy. In addition to this, verse 15 speaks of her household. This is another indication that she was independent. Verse 40, as we noted a moment ago, also referred to the house as Lydia's. Therefore, we may conclude that she was a wealthy woman who lived independently and was in charge of an entire household. The second quality that the scriptures reveal about Lydia is that she was hospitable. One did not need to be wealthy in order to be hospitable, of course, but the mere possession of wealth did not necessarily make one hospitable. The rich man in Luke chapter 16, for example, was definitely inhospitable to Lazarus. Lydia, on the other hand, was willing to provide for the needs of Paul and his companions by inviting them to stay in her house. Now, it was customary in the first century to provide for teachers and preachers and other religious types by giving them food and shelter when they came to a town. During their stay in a town, they would be housed and fed by those who were among their students or followers. Then, upon their departure, provision would be given to supply their needs until they reached their next destination. Hospitality was also shown by taking in wayfarers for the night and then sending them on their way the next day. We see that Lydia practiced hospitality in a generous and most insistent way. Verse 15 says she urged Paul and his companions to stay with her, and that she prevailed upon them to accept her hospitality. We do not know how long they stayed in her home, but it was apparently for some extended period of time. We know this because in telling about the demon-possessed girl that Paul healed, Luke says that she followed Paul for many days before he cast her out. Or cast out her demon. And so we may safely conclude that Lydia was Paul's host during this entire period, and that when Paul and Silas were finally released from jail, they returned to Lydia's house before resuming their journey. Now, these two qualities certainly made Lydia an extraordinary woman, but it is the third quality that makes her especially so. As Luke described the scene in which Paul and Silas met with the women who were gathered for prayer, he made an important statement about Lydia. In verse 14, Luke says Lydia was a worshiper of God. This is hugely significant given the circumstances in which this statement was made. Lydia, you see, was likely a Gentile. Yet on the Sabbath day, she was gathered with a group of women, some of whom must have been Jews, in order to pray to God. Unlike the Athenians whom Paul would shortly meet, Lydia was not worshiping a pantheon of gods. She was a worshiper of the true and living God. We know there were not many Jews in Philippi because there was no synagogue there. This is why the women were gathered outside the city. So Lydia's heart was already inclined toward God. And when Paul began speaking to the women by the riverside, she listened to every word as he spoke. We do not know the content of Paul's message that day, but it obviously included being baptized into Christ, because verse 15 tells us that not only Lydia, but her entire household were baptized. And this, by the way, suggests that after hearing Paul's message, she brought him to her home so he could proclaim it to her household as well. Lydia was a worshiper of God, but she was more than that. She was an obedient and faithful worshiper. Luke does not mention any of the other women from that group being baptized. Apparently, only Lydia responded in obedience to the gospel. Then she shared the good news with her household so that they might do the same. Although we read nothing more of this extraordinary woman in the New Testament, I believe she is one whose name is in the Book of Life and who will be among those who have a home prepared for them in heaven. There is one final aspect of Lydia's experience that is worthy of notice. At the end of verse 14, Luke says, "And the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul." This simple statement has been the source of misunderstanding, confusion, and blatantly false teaching. For this reason, we should give it attention in our study. Certain believers, followers of Calvinist doctrine, are convinced that mankind has no ability to decide to do good. They believe we are born evil and only some action on God's part can draw us to Him and to salvation. For this reason, they see the hand of the sovereign Lord selecting Lydia for salvation while the other women were not selected. This belief ignores the plain teaching of free will in the Scriptures. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11, Paul said, "Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men." Now, if salvation is wholly the decision of God and we are powerless to affect it, then it would be pointless to try to persuade men to believe and obey. So what does the Lord opening Lydia's heart actually mean? The answer, I believe, is found in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. There Jesus said, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened." Lydia, you see, was a seeker of God. She was trying to find Him, and this is why she had turned from paganism to the religion of the Jews. So she was seeking God. She wanted to find out who He was. She wanted to learn more about Him. And because she sought God, she found Him. He opened the door to the kingdom to her by Paul's preaching. And, of course, we understand from the text that she eagerly entered in by obedience to the gospel. This is how God opened her heart. She was one who was looking for God. She was seeking the right paths. And as a seeker, He answered her seeking by showing her the way of truth by means of the teaching that Paul did on that occasion. Lydia is an extraordinary woman, and she demonstrates to us that if we have the right kind of heart, and if we diligently seek God, we will find Him. And with Him, we will find eternal life. Thanks very much for listening this morning. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.